Hallelujah. Turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 19. We thank him indeed. It's good to see you, Pastor Temi. You've been missing for a while. I feel the anointing with you sitting there. Luke chapter 19, I'll read from verse 1. It says, "And Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. And there was a man called Zacchaeus." Can I have you in the NIV version, ladies, please? "And there was a man called Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So he ran down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, 'He has gone to be the guest of a sinner,' they said. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.' Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.'" Hallelujah. You know, Auntie Vivian, when we were praying upstairs today, you said something. What's that one thing that can take you to the next level? What is that one thing that can take you to the next level? Everybody wants to go to the next level. We all don't want to stay where we are. After a while, you want to go to the next level. And you mentioned wisdom, which is true. But there's also an ingredient that most people miss, and that's expectation. I'm not sure if you are aware of what you were doing this morning. When you were stirring these guys up, you were stirring the expectation for what God was going to do this morning. You see, expectation is the next step that prepares you for what you believe will happen. Expectation, by definition, is a strong belief that something will happen. Strong belief that something is going to happen. So expectation is the next step that prepares you for what you believe is going to happen. If you turn on your TV right now and the weatherman came on and he said, "We are expecting snow tomorrow," there's a way you behave. There's a way you behave because you're expecting snow. But if you said, we hope it might snow tomorrow, chances are you may not take any precautions. You see all the councils, or they are trying to grade the roads because they're expecting snow. Let me just give a simple illustration. Come on, 1 minute. See these two bowls here? Yeah. Now, assuming I've got 10 pounds in here, and I've got 1,000 pounds in here, okay? And I ask you to come and take, you know, whatever it's in there. Chances are you would go for the one with 1,000 pounds, okay? Well, there you go. I can understand there are some greedy people in there, but you just have to go for one. Chances are you might go for 1,000 pounds. Now, what is, because, well, you haven't even seen the money yet. I'm just saying there's 1,000 pounds here and 10 pounds here. You walk straight to this because you're expecting 1,000 pounds. Your life will always go in the direction of your expectation. See? And so if you haven't got an expectation, then you don't have anything. And that is the ingredient that will take you to the next level. You see, in the scripture that we just read, thank you, Zacchaeus now, he's a tax collector. There's one thing to be a tax collector, but when you're a chief tax collector, you are hated. There's a double hatred for you because, you know, you are very rich and you're wealthy because you've taken people's money. Now, this guy wasn't needy. He wasn't poor or anything. He just wanted to see Jesus. Most people, when they want to see Jesus, it's because they've got a need. And that's why they want to see Jesus. Maybe they want deliverance. Maybe they want healing. Something. Nobody wants to see Jesus just for the sake of seeing Jesus. But Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus just for the sake of seeing him. But there was a problem. There was a setback. He was short. And he couldn't see Jesus from the crowd. You think I'm short? Zacchaeus was like that. He couldn't see Jesus from the crowd. And so what does he do? He climbs a tree and patiently waits, expecting to see Jesus. Now, there's no guarantee that even Jesus will go that way. Because it's Jesus. You know, he's in the midst of crowds. They could delay him. He could even change his mind and go back. Once he said to his brothers that he was going to, you know, there was a party that he said he would never attend. And then when his brothers go, he turns around and quietly sneaks into the path. It's Jesus, anything can happen. So he climbs on the tree and patiently waits, expecting to see Jesus. Now understand this, his height was a problem. It was a setback. But you know, at times in life, a setback can be a blessing in disguise. It can be a blessing in disguise because it enhances your desire to want to achieve your goal. And he said, I'm not just going to stand. I'm going to climb that tree and wait. And so while he's there, he's waiting. Something interesting happened. He says, so he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him. Jesus was coming that way. He said, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. When he got to the spot, exactly where Zacchaeus was. Bear in mind, Zacchaeus had never seen Jesus. Jesus had never seen him. And yet when he gets to the spot, he knows that Zacchaeus is there. Look, this morning God wants to encourage somebody that he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly how you feel. And not only that, he knows your name. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. He knows your name. Pastor David, do you remember years ago when we had Bismarck here? I think it was the first time. He came and he asked you to take a piece of paper. And he said to you, write this number down. So he started writing 0795802872. It turns out that it was Pastor Toki's number. And Pastor Toki was so excited, I remember. And he wasn't excited because his number had been written, but he was excited because heaven knows his number. There's something reassuring about the fact that God knows your name. He knows your name. He completely knows your name. And that day, when he met Zacchaeus, he mentioned his name. Zacchaeus, come down, because I am going to stay with you today. When you read the first verse, he was just passing through Jericho. He wasn't planning. He was just passing through Jericho. But Zacchaeus' expectation changed God's plan for his life. And that's what I'm saying. Expectation is so important. It's so important. Many times we come to church, and that's what, thank you again, Kamal, for stirring our expectation up this morning for what God is about to do. And not only he said to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to your house. Salvation says, is deliverance from sin. By definition, salvation is deliverance from any harm, any danger, or any problem. And I believe God's desire is to deliver you from any danger, any problem that you may face. He knows your name. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he's here to change it for you. And maybe you might be here this morning, and you probably say, you know, but I hear what you are saying. You know, little man in skinny jeans, I hear you. But there are times that I've come in the presence of God, and with all my heart, I've got the expectation, and I've gone and I've come and gone back the same way. I say, okay, what have you got to say to that? It's true, because I've experienced it before. Where you really know that you have an expectation. You're really expecting that God is going to move in a way he's never done before, and your expectation is disappointed. Understand, it happened to Martha and Mary and Lazarus in the Bible. It did. Shall we go to John chapter 11? I'll show you something. John chapter 11. Read from verse 1. John chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with his hair. I remember that story when Lazarus was trying to do, Martha was trying to do that, and everybody was complaining, why are you using this expensive perfume? And Jesus said, no. That is how she decided to show her gratitude. Let her do it. There's something about gratitude that opens doors, you know. And it's a good thing that every time, every morning you wake up with a grateful heart, because it makes such a difference in your life when you wake up with a grateful heart. Anyway, so the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Next verse. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. I like this. Let's go back. Go back. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them. Next verse. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. How? He loved them, and when he heard Jesus was sick, Lazarus was sick, he stayed there 2 more days. Long enough for Lazarus to die, if you know the story. Long enough for Lazarus to die. And that is the problem many of us have. Because we get all these promises from God, how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. You know, even he died for us. And yet when it comes to a need, it seems as though he's not answering. He disappoints our expectation. How is that? How is that? And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, are you okay? If he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Let us also go. Where was he when Jesus was being crucified? It was nowhere to be found. Have you guys ever thought about the times that you also disappoint God? So many times you think God is disappointed. Do you ever think of the times that we also disappoint God? Sometimes the loudest people are the people you can't even trust. Oh, yeah, I'll be there, I'll be there, I'll do it. Where was him? Nowhere to be found. But you see, I'm using this story because I want to make a point. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they felt disappointed by Jesus. They felt that their expectations were not met. You see, when you go back to the beginning, the very beginning of John chapter 11, it says this. It says, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. When they heard that, when they sent the report to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, they said, the one you love is sick. They didn't even say that, you know, Lazarus. It says, the one you love. It shows you that they have a special relationship. The one you love is sick. Jesus knew Mary and Martha. He knew them very well. There were times that he would go there, eat, just chill and do all sorts. So he knew them very well. But then when it comes to the fact that they needed him, it feels like he's let them down. And not only did he delay 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days, or even four days, or even 4 days. He delayed till after 4 days when Lazarus was completely dead. You see, in the Jewish culture, if you die 1 day, you can be resuscitated. They believe that, you know, you can still come back to life. 2 days, you can still. 3 days, you can. But 4 days, they believe that that's when your spirit leaves you completely. So there's nothing they can do about it. You are beyond resurrection. That's what they believe. And so to think that you know Jesus so well, to think that you trust him so much and you have an expectation, and yet he doesn't turn up after 4 days, is disappointing. So when Martha hears that eventually Jesus is coming in verse 20, watch what happens in verse 20. It says, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. And it's not like she went out to meet him. She went out to meet him. Like she was angry. So she went out. You know how some people, you know, when they get so close to pastors and the pastors annoy them, they just leave. She went out to meet Jesus, probably with a hand on the hip. But Mary stayed at home. Says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. I had an expectation, but you let me down. But even yet still, I know that you can still do something. Now, next verse, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. In other words, I'll restore to you what you've lost. Now, understand this. When they first went to Jesus about this situation, what did Jesus say in verse? Let's go back to verse 5. When they first went to Jesus about the issue of Lazarus, that Lazarus was sick. The next verse, please. And the next one. No, sorry, let's go to verse 4. It says, when Jesus, it says, this sickness will not end in death. when he was told that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness will not end in death. That was his position on the situation. Now, it didn't matter what else happens. It didn't matter if he died 1,000 years. His position on the situation is that, look, this thing will not lead to death. So there are times that when you pray concerning something or you have an expectation, you need a word concerning that expectation. You need a word concerning that expectation. Say, Lord, what's your position on this? So it doesn't matter whatever happens. His position on the situation is that this will not lead to death. So whatever happens, whatever you feel, whatever you think, it will not lead to death. Kamau, his position on marriage is this. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor. Can you believe God for that favor? That's his position. Can you believe him for a new house, a new car, whatever? That's his position. It doesn't change. That is his position on that. And so when Martha met him in verse 20, shall we go back? And Jesus said, look, he will rise again. 21. He said, Lord, Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. I'll restore whatever you've lost. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now, she's beginning to defer her expectation. At the resurrection. That's years to come. But God is saying now, but years to come. And then listen to what Jesus says. Next verse. It says, Jesus said to her, look, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's what he told Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whoever believes in me will never die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? It was a question that she posed. Do you believe this? And see what Martha says. Say, yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. But she didn't answer the question. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Whoever believes in me will not die. Do you believe this? And then what was her response? Her response was, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah. You haven't answered my question. And there's so many times we believe so many things about God. We believe so many things, you know, about what we hear about God, what God can do and all that. But can we believe that he can do it for us? Because she didn't answer the question. She didn't at all. She didn't answer the question at all. And so in the next verse, in 28, you see that after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. She never answered the question. So many times we read the Bible, there's 1,001 promises of God in the Bible. You know, by his stripes we are healed. For your sake I became poor, so that through my poverty you become rich. You are the head and not the tail. All those promises. But can you believe that? Can you expect that for your life? There's a difference between expectation and faith. They are different. You can have faith without expectation, but you can never have expectation without faith. It's impossible. It's impossible. And so you have faith in all that you read, that yes, God did this, he did that, he did that. But do you believe he can do it for you? Do you? Because if you believe, then you come with an expectant. You know somebody who's expectant, the way they engage with the word, the way they engage with the worship, the way they engage, like, you know, the way come out, the way it's tearing them up. You know they've come with an expectant heart. You know it. You know it. He says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. That is his position on the situation. So if you come and you don't experience him, then it's you. This is, if you come to where two or three are gathered in my name, I am here. This is my position on the situation. Nothing else will change it. And so if you don't experience him, then it's probably you. You know, in Exodus chapter 14, when he took the Israelites out of Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And then eventually they got to the Red Sea. Just as they were on the edge of their breakthrough, just going into the promised land, finally they realized that there's the Red Sea and so they can't cross. And then they begin to cry and shout and say to Moses, why have you brought us this far to kill us? Were there no graves in Egypt for us to die? Why have you brought us this far? Then they see Pharaoh coming And then they even become more afraid of Pharaoh and his men. And they start screaming. And God said to Moses, raise up your hand over the sea and see it split. So that's what he did, and they went through. Now, Pharaoh and his men did the same thing. The difference is that they drowned. Can we go to 27, please? 27, Exodus 14:27. It says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. You see, going through the Red Sea in itself was a miracle, which was great. But the triumph here wasn't God killing Pharaoh and his men. He didn't need them to come this far to kill them. He could have done that way back in Egypt. But the triumph here is that they stepped into a new position of faith in their walk with God. That's the triumph and that's the victory. They were afraid of Pharaoh before, but now they were not afraid of Pharaoh anymore. They had stepped into a new position of faith. And maybe that's where God wants to take you right now. He wants to take you into a new position of faith, a new position of victory. And so there are times that you had an expectation that this thing, you know, God was taking you to the other side. And then you come there and then there's the Red Sea. But God parts it. He does something that he's never done before because he wants to take you to a new position of faith. Now the interesting thing is, after crossing the Red Sea, they fought so many battles after that. But that day, they always, if you read the Bible, they always use that day as a point of reference. Always. They use it as a point of reference. That, look, there was a time that we were stuck, that God made a way for us where there's no way. And maybe it's because God wants to give you a point of reference because he's taking you higher and higher. Life can be a battle at times. He's taking you higher and higher. There are times that you get to a place that you even doubt if God is real or not. But then you need that point of reference to say, oh, you know, when I was stuck, he made the way for me and he can do it again. It's only when you begin to put your expectation in man and in other things that you get disappointed. You know, in Psalm 62 verse 5, and can I have that in the King James Version, Psalm 62 verse 5. See what God says. Psalm 62 verse 5. It says, my soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from him. Not on man, not on your job, not on doctors, not on anybody. Your expectation is from him. It's the next step that takes you to where you are believing God to take you. Your life will always go in the direction of your expectation. What are your expectations this morning? I wonder how many people really had expectations when they came here this morning. Or they came because it's a Sunday, and so it's a Sunday, let's come and let's do whatever we have to do and go back. Or I wonder how many people came here because they were really expecting, or you came because you were on the rota. No, I'm just saying. You need, if you want to get to the next level, you need to have that expectation. You really need that expectation. Really, really need it. Shall we be on our feet? I really believe that God wants to take you to the next level. His position on this year is that it's your year of Jubilee. That's his position on the situation. Nothing can change it. You see, God's word is his bond. He watches over his word to perform it. He never changes his word. The other day I was saying, if I asked you what color is this shirt and you told me it was blue, you would have lied. But if God says this is blue, it has to change into blue because he can't lie. Whatever he says happens. He just can't lie. He can't. And so he's saying to you this year, look, my position on this year is that it's your year of Jubilee. But I need you to stir up your expectation and take it right now. Because it's the next step that will take you to where you very want to take. If you don't have any expectation like we saw, then chances are you're not going anywhere, because your life will always go in the direction of your expectation. So what are your expectations? I won't even go far. What are your expectations today? Because it's right here, today, right now. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every single person in this room this morning. You know the expectations in their hearts, oh God. Maybe along the line, Lord, some have been disappointed for one reason or the other. But Lord, I pray that you resurrect that expectation this morning. You resurrect it again this morning, Father. I pray, Father, oh God, that even when they're weak, Lord, you be their strength. Let them put their expectation in you, because you don't change. You are the same, not in man or any other thing. Let them put their expectation in you, God. And even when it feels delayed, it's not because you are denying them. You know, that day, it felt as though Mary and Martha's expectations were not met. But no, God didn't meet the expectation. He exceeded their expectation. He exceeded it. And so if you're here right now and you have an expectation and you think it's not being met, maybe it's because God is about to exceed it. And so position yourself for what he's about to do. Father, I thank you so much for your word today, oh God. Father, I pray that you add to it, oh God. You stir hearts and minds, oh God. And let them achieve, oh God, what you have for them. In the precious and mighty name of Jesus.